This is RSBNB Update, episode 643, recorded Friday, October 27th, 2017, Pacing and Leading. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Tycho is back. Welcome back.
Thank you, Shane. I'm glad to be back.
Tycho, of course, from Clan Quest. Also joining us this week is Parnassius, who you guys have heard on the show once or twice before. Welcome back.
Thank you. Back to assault everyone's eardrums again.
Salt is good. There might be some salt in this episode, depending on your perspective of things, based on some inter-community drama that's been going on around the RS community, but we'll get to that in just a little bit. And, you know, you might be wondering why we're not leading with that this week. You guys might have an idea what it is if you've read the show notes or you've been paying attention to other communities around related to RuneScape, but I like to pride this podcast as not being the TMZ of the RuneScape community, where we're talking about drama and what's going on just for the sake of there being drama. So we waited to hear what the actual response on this issue was, and we responded accordingly as well with some very interesting results. So we're going to talk about all that, and we're going to have a nice little discussion here, a nice sane little discussion compared to some other places that's been going on. But I think if people had been living under a rock, they might not know what we're talking about. But based on what I just said, I think most people will know, right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully. Oh, I can't wait.
But of course, before we do that, we're going to talk about the RuneScape news, which is, of course, what this podcast is about. So this week is a patch week, first and foremost. Jagex has lots of little ninja fixes along the way to make the game better for us. You know, there are lots of high-impactful patch notes this week. I always enjoy these weeks. So we're just going to start right off with those, with the skilling patch notes in particular. So under the skilling category, we have one that says, the Rune Metrics interface is now visible during kegger racing, table dancing, and zapper minigames at the Novemberfest event.
People like having checking their XP gains per hour. So, yeah.
I don't think there's much XP to be gained, though, comparatively at Novemberfest compared to other places, but I guess it's a nice touch.
It's free.
True.
Yeah.
Free XP.
And I think they've done it well this time around that they have limited the because it is sort of open, you can do it all day. They have limited the amount of XP per hour there. So I think they've done this one quite well.
Yeah, that was an issue.
And no daily escape.
True.
No.
That's it. Yeah.
True. So they kind of hit the nail on the head with that. And it's not completely overpowered like some of the other charity events were, where you could That was just insane, those charity events. So it's good we're not at that level of overpoweredness here. Continuing on, the constitution and defense level requirements to wear the agile top and legs, not to be confused with the nimble outfit, have been removed. That's good.
Does anyone actually still wear those, though, really?
I actually wear those when I'm doing my farming runs.
Okay.
Just because
you don't wear your farming outfit?
Well, I'm not farming for XP anymore. If I start farming for XP again, I would have 200 mil farming XP within the next year, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I mean,
enjoying the journey.
Yeah,
that's another discussion we could have one day about the 200 mil cap.
Yeah. And I mean, it's always just good to lower the weight whatever way you can, just so the run energy recharges that much faster and you never run out. So, bamboo can now be used with the portable Fletcher for convenience, but without generating additional resources. This is to ensure that the Waiko grill and portable range saving chances are not affected due to Wop Gong comparative rarity. So I'm guessing what this means is that if you have a stack of bamboo that you're just feeding to the portable Fletcher, you get the fletching XP from it, but you don't get the bamboo bundles.
I think that means you don't get the extra bundles. I think there's a chance of always getting extra resources. So
I never noticed that.
Yeah, no, occasionally when you're fletching, they'll throw you a free one. Same as the herb. That's why I always use the herb one. I didn't build my herb maker in the new invention guild for that very reason. You sort of got a 10% chance of generating a free potion.
Yeah, and those stack up definitely if you're going for 120 or 200.
Exactly. Yep.
players now have a higher chance to receive the lifeboat reward from the player-owned port, Sea Singer, Umi, and Black Marketeer events.
Yes.
Which is excellent, but I mean, I suppose there's probably still a lot of people who are that lower and going for that.
There's lots of people I know who haven't started ports yet, whether it's just because they're late to getting to the 90s or they never saw the value of it beforehand. So, and I think the thing to underscore with lifeboats for anyone just doing ports, and I would have left this out if I'd assumed everyone who had listened to this had done ports, but once you get a lifeboat, you do not need to replace that lifeboat if it is used.
That's right.
So you only need to get four of them in total.
Yeah.
One per boat.
And thus your crew members can't die. And that can be very costly.
Definitely.
If they do.
Players can no longer use firecrackers to increase their mining speed. This is a bit of an odd one. So
I've never heard of a firecracker, but yeah.
They're actually sold by Diango.
Yeah, they were for, what was the event? It was that one UK holiday.
It was some kind of holiday when he gave out a lot of.
Oh, it was the royal wedding.
King Black Dragon and the Calphite Queen.
Yeah. So the idea behind firecrackers is they just explode, and I guess what that was doing was terminating your animation. Though I guess it has the new method of lighting a firecracker under your butt to start mining faster. So
it ended the animation and it started it, and to the short cooldown, it was spamming like it was trying to mine.
Okay,
and that way speeding it up.
Right, so that's a bit of a bug.
Interesting.
All right, moving back to Menaphos now. The reward chest inside the Sophanim Slayer dungeon is no longer called the Menaphos Dungeon Chest. The fishing spots inside the Menaphos VIP area have been moved closer together and will now only spawn on the west side of the pool, and a fish flinger's fisherman has been added to the Menaphos VIP area. So once again, I think kind of on the track here of highlighting that Menaphos is mid-level content, and if you have unlocked the VIP area, that's probably where you should be in Menaphos, kind of like the Max Guild in Prif, if is the sense I'm getting.
Nice and close to that little bank chest down there.
Yeah, that is actually useful.
Yeah, and I mean, having the fish flingers fisherman in there makes a lot of sense too, so good little quality of life update.
Indeed. All right, now a couple for quests. So rerolling a challenge will now only consume Vizwax after confirming the reroll. This was an issue for a long time. If you asked to confirm the reroll, the first time you would go into that menu interface, your wax would be gone. So this is really good because, you might decide to click the X and that you don't want the reroll. So it would just disappear. So I'm glad that has been fixed. And, for a while I thought that was a feature just because, okay, you're going to click on request reroll and it's going to take this because you're just entertaining the idea of it. And I didn't really think it made sense, but, who knows. Now here's one on the free-to-play side once again. Members' skill challenges up to level 5 can now be progressed by free players. So you guys think this would be a good way to get people to subscribe to membership once mobile comes out and they're doing farming and free-to-play?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, this is what we want to see. We want to see this type of thing. So those new people coming in will get to experience it and they think, geez, that's good, and I'll try that out and stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's either that or they just, oh, why can't I get more XP? I can only be level 5. It's either that or, I'm interested in the content that's locked behind membership. What can it be?
All right. Now, these are basketed as other changes. The spider minions in the Araxi fight will now die at the end of her death animation.
That's good.
Yeah, if I recall, there was a chance of you being killed after Araxi died by these.
Yeah, but that's only when you were on low health.
Yes, that happened to me.
Oh man.
One of my first early kills, I got her, she went down, I thought good, and I sort of sat back and the little spider minion was still there and attacked me. I'm like, and I'm sort of I died.
That does seem to be in part and parcel with your luck that you have in game. All right. The right click options on the Barrows Brothers spawned by other players have been removed. All right. So 12 years after the fact, there's no chance of attacking other Barrows Brothers that aren't yours. That's now.
I was about to say, it only took them 12 years.
On top of your brother.
Oh, boy. I remember doing this back in the day, and it was hard to tell which one would be yours if no one was attacking. Oh, all right. I've never fought Virago, but this next one kind of makes sense. The click radius on the gravity field in Virago's boss fight has been increased. I'm assuming this is related to some mechanic or near the end of the boss, right?
Yeah, sadly, I haven't fought Virago a lot either. I was carried during my only kill for the Reaper title. But click radius is something very important during PVM because even if you have the reactions, if you misclick,
you move, dead. You walk, right?
Yep.
Yeah, in the wrong direction also.
And that's one of the largest things that annoys me about PVM in this game is that, some NPCs will stomp you if you get too close, and there's always a chance that you could do this and walk right under it. So
yeah, they try to avoid it. Now, I remember they doing an update where Beastmaster Dursag in raids no longer tramples you, but can now attack you even if you are under him. And this was a huge change to the very many bosses in RuneScape that you could no longer walk them back and forth like walking the dog and then take them on when
I remember that patch note.
You could tank them just by walking with Dursag just all day out in the park. It was literally a walk in the park.
Wow. All right. Moving on from that one, the Max Guild boss portal has been updated to show all options on one page, and a set arrival option has been added to the various bosses for the Max Guild boss portal.
Now, if I'm going to say on that Max Guild portal, that's great, but two of the names are just below the viewing thing. So they've still got the little scroll bar down the side, so you've got to drop it down for the bottom two bosses.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
They didn't increase the size of the box to cover that. So that look for that in future patch notes.
That's right. They also added a Don't Ask Me Again option to be prompted about the 100k coin charge for retuning the Max Guild boss portal, because, of course, everyone can afford 100k these days.
Yeah, apparently, if you're maxed, you don't have anything to waste your money on.
Yeah.
it's just basically just to make it a bit quicker, save one less click. Because most of the time, 99% of the time, you're doing it because you want to do it. It's not an accidental.
Yeah, it's not something you can do really easily. So. The following items will now always show a loot beam: Ghost Hunter equipment, Ancient Emblems, Perfect Chitin, Camel Journals, Magister Journals, Adamant Dragon Journals, and Attuned Crystal Seeds.
That Ghost Hunter outfit or equipment, though, that is frustrating because even after you've completed the set, they still drop more.
It shouldn't do that.
And it's a destroy option, so you can't, if you've got your legendary pet out and he always picks those things up, if you're in the middle of a fight, you have to actually stop fighting to be able to destroy it. You can't just drop it out of your inventory.
Actually, I learned a way to do it quicker, and you always get the option yes, no. You can actually press Y on your keyboard to destroy it quickly.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
I'll try that next time.
That seems a little bit dangerous.
You click destroy and then
press
Y.
Right. Okay. I see what you mean.
No. You don't press Y like pressing an ability and then whoops, I just destroyed.
Right. So you gotta choose the destroy option first then.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
That would be interesting.
I like this for the attuned crystal seeds because those are a small item and those are something that you kind of need if you're completing Prif task sets. And in general, attuned crystal items can be used for some good invention XP as well. So.
Oh, just love having crystal of weaponry, just like me.
There we go. Players are now prompted with a warning message when equipping a demonic skull and entering or crossing the wilderness with one in their backpack as well. So if you have it in your inventory or your backpack, you're now given a warning message when you enter the wilderness.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. But, I mean, hopefully that's something you can turn off because that would be a lot of extra clicking for someone doing runecrafting in the wilderness with that.
Yeah, if it's only a notice above your head, then one can just ignore that mentally.
All right. The Book of Death now works against Runite Dragons. Book of Death, of course, is the... I was thinking of the Perfect Bone Crusher there. Book of Death is the one that...
From Reaper Tasks.
From Reaper Tasks that does more damage to these things, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. See, I know these things. I'm not a PVM person, but I know most of them. The boost and activate options on the action bar for equipped skill capes have been swapped around, of course, because everyone wants to boost all their stats by +1 when they're wearing a skill cape, right? And not activate their perk.
I wonder.
This is really good for folks with 99 herb lore because what you can do is you can pop that herb lore cape on and then put it on your action bar and then you can just clean those herbs really quick in your interface. I do that when I have a very large herb run. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, yes.
No.
No, I still clean the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, okay. For XP? Nickel and diming your
XP for
there.
XP, but generally when I'm doing it for the golden rocks.
Oh, right. Of course, because that is a high action event.
Yep.
Yeah, that's actually how I got my herb lord pet, cleaning herbs.
Wow. I still haven't got mine, and I've done almost 20 million herb lore since the release.
Yeah, we'll talk about pets at some other time, I think, but I seem to be very lucky with those.
You do.
Moving on to ninja fixes. Surge and Escape are now usable during the global cooldown period, similar to Bladed Dive outside of PvP areas.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes, I tested that today. I'm almost speechless. It's amazing because during PvM, if a boss does some kind of special attack or mechanic that you need to avoid instantly, you are no longer restricted by the global cooldown of 1.8 seconds.
Yeah.
You can now attack with an ability, and then at the same moment, oops, you are away.
Very nice. It's incredible.
I can't say anything more than incredible.
Update of the week for you?
Yes, update for
or maybe the month?
That remains to see.
Now here's one for all the clan questers. Quest requirements on the quest interface screen in the quest journal will now link to the appropriate required quest when clicked on. That seems like
really
that would be a little bit obvious, but it's good. Now here's one gearing up for December. The Holly Wreath headpiece, boy, how could I say that wrong, has received a graphical update to give it more visual character. And for anyone who has the Holly Wreath, you'll know that it looked very thin before and you could barely even see it on your head. So this is a good update given that the holiday season's right around the corner. And compared to a Santa hat or a party hat, well, the wreath was rather pitiful. So that's good. Maximize and minimize buttons on the action bar has been returned to the original larger size, which I think is good given the fact we're heading towards RS Mobile. Remains to be seen if this kind of same action bar UI will persist once mobile arrives. But even with my mouse, I don't know about you guys, I had a hard time clicking on the minimize, maximize button because it's just so tiny.
It was a hard time. It's like trying to get a bullseye with a bow and arrow from 50 yards away. You had to really concentrate and slowly and surely get your aim right and then shoot.
Well, speaking of shooting, you might end up shooting yourself for some damage in Menaphos if you're doing Soul Obelisk. So a check progress option has been added to the Soul Obelisk to see how much XP remains that you can get from those.
Nice.
I don't know if people still do those or if the initial hype has died off, if the friends chats or still exist, but I hope they do for anyone arriving in game who has the misfortune of wanting to grind through the Menaphos rep.
Just if you do your just get a lot of tasks at the Slayer dungeon and such, because you need to get the 10,000 kills down there anyway, so eventually you will get that all that rep up doing that anyway.
All right.
Play the game properly. Don't rush it.
Yeah.
Yes.
The balloon travel map has been updated to bring it in line with other interfaces, of course. I don't know if anyone uses the balloon network this day and age, but this was one of those old-style interfaces that looked like it came out of 2007 RuneScape.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'm seeing a trend here. There's been a lot of interfaces getting their upgrades, and I think it's good.
Yeah, you know, interface updates have always been something that Jagex lagged behind on a little bit. So it's good to see these all being modernized here.
One thing we can thank for mobile.
Yeah. The skill name has been added to Strange Rocks and Golden Rocks. I think everyone's going to be
not
happy.
Not the four
about
time,
this.
Yes.
Yeah, because I mean, what did you, like? You had to right click, examine on them, and decipher what it meant, right? Because it didn't say this was a farming rock; it said something about the earth. So.
Exactly.
It was
found
while making fire. It was borrowed from somebody's pocket. It was found during farming, cultivating. I mean. It was pretty straightforward,
right? But,
and
I mean,
love
you wanna,
examining things.
Yeah, but you also want the at-a-glance options as well, so this is good. Now some teleport options. I don't know how you guys feel about this. These kind of change the fabric of the game. The Varrock teleport will now teleport players slightly closer to the staff shop, depending on Varrock completion settings. And the Lumbridge teleport will now teleport players closer to the Combat Academy.
Okay. The Varrock one, I'm not sort of overly fussed with, but I think the Lumbridge one is great because the old Lumbridge teleport takes you basically to where the lodestone was anyway.
Right.
So
that's
what was the point in using that now that it's closer? And everyone uses the Combat Academy. So it sort of it brings back a bit more use for the actual teleport spell rather than just using the lodestone. So I do like that one.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, same here. I understand the Lumbridge one because each time I used the lodestone, it was either going to the Lumbridge swamps or to the Lumbridge crater. In both cases, I wasn't interested in using my runes just to get to the castle courtyard. So just having the teleport moved closer to the crater actually encourage me to switch to the normal spellbook and teleport people there if they want to. Of course, if you are in Riftinus, you can use the holiday portal at the southwest part of the tower.
But we need something to be active for that to happen, of course.
Yes.
All right, and the last patch note we're going to talk about this week is a right-click option has been added to select the destination on various fairy rings throughout the game world without having to first visit Zanaris.
Now, I love this option. What I am a little disappointed about, this is a perfect quest reward.
There you go. You hit the nail on the head.
They just thrown this in, and I'm sitting there because I said ages ago, we need to see the next quest. From the fairies, and this is what I want as a reward, and they've just thrown it in as a patch
right.
update. I mean,
Plus, it doesn't also make sense lore wise, because if you look at the way the Fairy Ring Network was designed, you had to be able. They were one way going to Zanaris. You could not access the dial and the wider Fairy Ring Network from Edgeville or the Grove or wherever it might be. You needed to go back to Zanaris to do that. And you know, you're right, Pern. That is a very big lore oopsie, because they could have put that into the next quest, you know?
So
yes.
That's a bit of a head scratcher there. And you know, I think yes, this is a ninja fix and people want it and the ninja team wants to do what people want. I can see that. But at the same time, there needs to be a filter on what the ninja team does to ensure that what they're doing isn't stepping on the toes of lore or in general. I think just
great
general
quest rewards.
Great quest rewards, or I could just say in general game mechanics that already have been in place for so long and established in game. So yeah, a little bit annoying there. So
yeah.
Yeah, but now it's out. It's here.
But I use it.
All right. So Dimension of the Damned, we were supposed to have a finale tomorrow on Saturday, October 28th, but that's not happening anymore. Tycho, you made it into the finale. Pern, did you do Dimension of the Damned to get to the finale?
I actually never even logged into it. I never tried it.
How could you?
Just there's a lot of carry on from the start about being underpowered and overpowered, and I was just having sort of a bad week personally, so I just did not get into it. I'll probably do it next time because they said it is going to be a seasonal type thing. But one thing I will say here, there were a lot of complaints about this final and you're doing it at this time and it's going to hurt people in other parts of the world and such. And one of the mods come on at the time and said, hang on, we've given everyone 2 weeks' notice so they know when it's on, they can arrange time off work, everyone knows when it's happening, and if they're going to do it, you know, that they know when it's happening. And then all of a sudden, people who have organized that time off, if you are working and such there or organize things, they just summarily changed it on you. So
yeah.
It's just very, because I work weekends, and if I had have competed and had a made, I would have organized this weekend off to play it.
And that would have been a big downer for you to, make a real life change for a game. And, you know, lots of us have the saying, real life before RS, and that applies in most cases here. But Dimension of the Damned is so far a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It might become seasonal. So, changing it like this is really going to throw a wrench in a lot of people's plans.
Yeah, and it already has been doing that. It was put out on the RuneScape forums, and the reactions weren't that nice.
Yeah,
I can just say, and even more, the next week when it's going to happen, for those who don't know, it will be 19:30 UTC time on the 4th of November.
That you can log in.
And it will be during the same date when the BlizzCon happens. So people will have to prioritize.
For anyone wondering, BlizzCon is Blizzard's conference that's being held in LA. And, Blizzard, of course, developers of StarCraft II, Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, World of Warcraft as well. And that's where they do all their big reveals. So some people might want to watch that instead of being at Dimension of the Damned. So I don't know if that's going to be too big of an issue for the RuneScape community. I don't know.
That remains to be seen, but the largest impact is that people have taken the weekend off and then they move it to the next week.
Right. So,
and especially, I mean, here in Australia, it's Melbourne Cup weekend, which is the biggest horse race. So we actually get a long weekend weekend. So a lot of people who go away, and I think it's only a Victorian thing, not actually Australia-wide, that one. But again, you know, people would have organized to go away, or other people have already organized that weekend off because they want the full long weekend. And, you know, when they change like that, all of a sudden you can't say, oh, I'll work this weekend and need to take next weekend off, because it would have already been done by a bunch of other people.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. So the new login time is 19:30 game time, with the finale beginning at 8 p.m. game time, 2000 hours on the 4th. Now, here's where we were scratching heads earlier in pre-show. Players will be able to log into the servers from 17:30 game time and will be locked inside Falador until the final begins. If you have not logged in by 18:00, you will not be able to log in and miss out on the competition. So you need to be logged in 2 hours before it begins.
I'm guessing they somehow forgot to edit the message, because it was supposed to happen tomorrow, and it was supposed to start at 18:00. But now that they moved it to the next week, they also changed the time to 2 hours later. Now, the problem with that...
So you think it's a 19:30 login time?
Yeah, because that's the time when they opened the servers. I actually stayed in the dimension of the damned until they forcefully logged everybody out when the server was closed, and right. I couldn't log back in. If it's at the same state, how am I supposed to log into a server that's closed 2 hours before it starts? I doubt it can be done. And the problem with that is, this message has now been sent out to all 1,000 players.
Did they send it via email too?
Yes.
Huh.
Actually, no. Only RuneScape account. So I had to go to the RuneScape page and click account on the top right corner and go in there and see if I had gotten it. And I had. So no, I haven't received it in my personal mail. Just doing a quick check. Nope, it's not there. I had to log in to this webpage and find it there. Now, problem is, if this is a mistake, they have to resend all 1,000 players there. But, I mean, if it's not a mistake, why do you think people need to be logged in 2 hours earlier?
Yeah, I agree.
Proofread, Jagex, proofread.
And the reasoning here is that due to this, we've made a few changes to the finale and how gameplay works too. You can read up on those details here, which is where we were just reading from. The team has been hard at work getting these changes live for the 10-day qualifier, then integrating the new changes for the finale, as well as building the special features like the Miasma and the Culling. We have reached the final stage where the finale would not be up to scratch if we ran it this Saturday.
Then why was it released... These type of things, again, are we going to have issues of balancing again like we did on release with this game, and then they overcorrected on the Tuesday? I mean, these type of things, and this is what frustrates people, is, you know...
It's a live event. You can't make changes to a live event like this.
That's right. They under-promise, they over-promise and under-deliver constantly at the moment, and this is what's frustrating people.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not consistent throughout all Jagex. There are teams that hit their updates out of the park. Then there are these things where we got a little bit of a balancing issue here with Dimension of the Damned. And it gets apparently fixed for the main 10-day qualifying session, but then it needs to be further tweaked for the finale. And what day that did your qualifying end, Tycho? It was like 2 days ago, right?
Yes, it closed during the reset on Wednesday.
Okay,
and that was exactly 10 days of gameplay.
Right, so you got basically now 3 days of cooling off before the finale would begin. Now you've got another 10 days where you're not in that game world, and you're, in some ways, I would imagine, kind of losing your immersion with that as well.
Exactly. People have been saying that, wouldn't it be great by opening Dimension of the Damned, I mean, for another week? It would be fun for those players and maybe give people some area to practice. But there's also another thing. If they are doing tweaks and fixes, who's going to test them?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because the internal testing didn't catch the balancing issues for the qualifying. So you got to wonder if it's going to catch the balancing issues for the finale. So
I'm biting my nails right now about that.
My fingers are crossed. I want to be cautiously optimistic, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens with this.
Especially given the sort of rewards that you're getting. Real life definitely. Rewards out of this. You can't stuff this up.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I'm only aiming for the top 100 at the moment, but the dream of being within the top 5 and having an all-paid journey to Jagex, that's still something I won't say no to if it would happen.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Tycho, and I guess you got another week to psych yourself up for it. So.
Yeah. Do you want a souvenir when I come back?
Oh, sure, definitely.
Definitely. Maybe an autograph from Mod Raven and Mod Shawnee.
Oh, that would be good. Though maybe I could go get some of my own next year. Winky face. All right. So here's what we were talking about earlier. So, you know, there are portions of the community that respond to certain updates in a negative way, and we call
them the perpetually outraged.
The perpetually outraged, and one of those types of updates is microtransactions. So much so that over the past 2 weeks, there's been a situation where microtransactions have been inflamed. I think what initially inflamed it was one of the wild card treasure hunter promotions that existed about 2 weeks ago, if I recall. I think that was the...
Did go a little overboard, that one, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit before that one is what inflamed.
Well, more of like a slot machine, that one worked.
Right, the one... Right, I remember that one now.
Yeah.
So that basically inflamed outrage in a certain part of the community about microtransactions. It wasn't widespread. We didn't see that issue in Clan Quest. You didn't see that issue if you're walking through RuneScape. And it was very quiet about that issue on Twitter under the RuneScape hashtag. So it was very much a case of the, as we've talked about before on this time, the very loud minority raising a stink about something and forcing Jagex to reply to it. So much so that I'm going to say this name once, and I'm only going to only say it once. The RuneScape subreddit was completely devoid of any meaningful content, and you gotta think about this for a minute, because that page is linked on the front page of RuneScape.com. Now, if...
It's about time they stop supporting that and get back to their own forums.
Exactly. Because, I mean, they're treating it as a social media website, which it is, but it's also one of the largest communities around the game. So that large community is almost the same as a fan site. And as such, if that fan site is not going to be constructive in the same way that all of us are expected to be constructive, I can talk at length, if anyone wants me to, about other fan sites that were not supportive of once upon a time in relation to Jagex and the consequences that happened to them back in the day. We could talk about that here. And if the same standard was held up to this fan site, this community, that would be delisted from the front page of RuneScape.com, and contact would be cut off. We would not be seeing a statement from Mod Balance regarding microtransactions, which is what we got this past Monday. So I'm going to paraphrase a bit of the statement here. So he says, in recent weeks, there's been a lot of discussion and concern from parts of the community about the quality of updates and the use of microtransactions in RuneScape. Our lack of response has made us seem distant and uncollaborative, making frustrations worse, and for that we are truly sorry. We'd like to reassure you that time is spent deciding on the right changes, and in this post we'll cover the immediate actions being taken and the larger changes we'll build towards in the longer term. So, he then gets on to the very key point here about microtransactions. It is incredibly important for us as developers that RuneScape has a long and healthy life. An essential part of providing that is providing players with new content, improved features, and solid overall service. The balance we tried to strike is that MTX, microtransactions, is a major part of the game's income and directly relates to the amount we can invest into its continued development. Without that income stream, we would have had to massively cut back on investment into the game, and we feel that this would be very damaging for RuneScape and the community. Now, I want everyone to remember that this statement from ModBalance came out this past Monday. So keep that in mind. Then the rest of the posting here is broken down into content, monetization, and communication. So under the content tab, he says there have been some good updates. You've not received thoroughly strong releases throughout this year. I think we can all agree with that, right?
Yeah.
So.
But one thing people do need to remember in that is that they basically wiped 6 months of development time when they stopped the expansion.
Right.
So it was all that 3 months was always going to be light because you can't just slap out a good quality update in a week. You have to have development time.
Yeah.
So people have to give them that 3 months between sort of June and September.
Yeah, and
you've
got
to give them that.
And that's my estimate, 3 to 4 months to put out a grade A quality update.
Yeah, just see gas cooking. You can't just put a can in the microwave and expect it to be good.
There you go. That's a good analogy. And then he touches on this exactly. There are a few factors moving toward then away from expansions. They picked up too many long-term development projects at the same time. This stifled regular releases. And we moved a few developers to focus on building the mobile client before we'd hired their replacements. And they say also our desire to not overpromise at the RuneScape Reveals talk at RuneFest made it seem like we'd lost our ambition. Now, this is a question for you, Tycho. The RuneScape Reveals talk, was there anyone in that room who was not excited?
I mean, we're quite excited about the stuff, but I actually noticed one thing in comparison to the previous RuneFest 2016, and that was, I mean, their ideas, even though they focused and the theme was back to our roots and they promised stuff that they already had promised, the stuff we had been knowing, I noticed, but what about the long-term projects? What about those? It didn't feel as much as the previous year,
right,
when they talked about the long, very long Sliskis endgame that would come to a close and then talked about our weather system that we were all blown off by. And then we had the 120 Slayer and
yeah,
then Menopause.
And see, the thing is that it's great to have the ability and the desire to take your message to the players. That's a great mark of transparency. But something that a lot of the player base doesn't understand, and this is not because they're dumb or stupid, it's because the content development cycle of a game like this can change in an instant and can make that certain projects are just off the table. And, you know, people really like RuneScape and they expect what they hear to come out in a reasonable amount of time. And that can't always happen.
Mm. Oh, no. Oh, no, it can't. But we were still excited they were at the RuneFest over all their ideas. I mean, lots of things they showed there at the development have been showed, which we'll be getting to that in just a moment. But it's in development now. And when I was sitting there watching everything with my awesome Hasselmere beard, we were all like, wow. There was even a screenshot of everybody in the audience saying, ooh. And I'm seeing myself there with wide open mouth with that beard, and I'm just laughing at it. But that was a perfect example of how everybody got in the spirit that this is what we can expect. This is what we are looking forward to.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's exactly right. This time, I mean, I watched it on YouTube, and this time around, we know this is coming into game. You spoke about the weather system they promised last year, and then this year they've said they're not doing it, it's too hard, they're going to do a day-night cycle. This is the over-promising and under-delivering that we've sort of seen the last several RuneFests, and I think by pulling that back and doing it the way they're doing it, this is what we're actually working on. This is in development. Yeah. I think they've done it a lot better.
That's what
and
needs
I can
to be
feel
done.
Better for it because I know that I am going to get this update. It's not just it's just not air. It's just not an empty promise or a pipe dream that they want to do. This is actually what we're getting. So, yeah, I really did prefer this time, the RuneFest, than I have the previous years.
Yeah,
I actually think people devalue honesty a bit too much because what I felt from Jagex that when I was there was honesty.
Exactly.
I felt connected when Mod Mark were on the stage and talking about what they were going to deliver, their promises they were going to hold, and especially what they couldn't hold. I mean, the bank work had been delayed, and instead they are focusing on RS on mobile, and the mining and smithing rework takes a lot of time. All of this is honesty. We know you want it, but we are gonna have to push it back.
Yeah,
that's an update.
Yeah, and that's good update. Because they could take the entire option, the entire opposite option, and not tell us what's coming until it's ready to come out, and they're just working on the promotional materials for it.
Like they did 5 years ago.
That's right. That's what other games do. And, you know, the players don't know any different in those other games, and they just accept that. But with RuneScape, we've become accustomed to learning more and more and more to this point. And this is part of JX's next bullet point here that Mod Balance wrote. We can and will do better. The content roadmap has been remade in recent months, driven by player requests, and we will be doing a new community survey soon to make sure our content plans are the best as they can be. So there's going to be a new community survey coming out, and they're also bringing out a content rating system in-game. Now, if you look at this content rating system in-game, it's showing Dimension of the Damned. It's got an option to play the content now, and a comment box for feedback with up to 300 characters, a rating system out of 10, and if you look very closely, it'll say required playtime, 60 minutes, and it'll show your existing playtime. So if you haven't played the content enough, you're not going to be able to rate that update.
Yes.
And that is the best thing I saw on this. I thought, how awesome. You actually have to play something before you can sit there and comment on it and bag. I mean, we saw even before Dimension of Disaster or Dimension of the Dam got released, there was some people already attacking it on Twitter. And we saw Mod Shawnee come in and lay the smack down on a couple of them. And I thought, really well done, Shawnee, on that. Because you've come in, you're attacking something that you haven't even played yet. What right do you have to do that? And I was really glad that finally one of the mods stood up and said, hey, pull your head in. You haven't tried it. This is what we're doing. And, you know, just shut up, play it, and then give me your comments. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And when I saw this, I just jumped up and like, yes, yes, yes. Like your favorite team on the TV or scoring a goal. You're like, yes. During the finals, even I was so happy.
And do you know what the real funny part about this is? Is this was a piece of content and news posting that was designed to quell the fears on that certain one website. And if you'll note, most of the posts on there, they are always, if they are complaining about an update, you got to ask, have these people played the update? And I wonder if they noticed what was in the screenshot about required playtime.
Mm. Well, I hope so. I have no right to give a comment on Dimension of the Damned because I never played it. I have no right to go and make a comment on it.
Yeah, that's true. So,
honesty right there.
Yeah.
Honesty right there.
Continuing on from this, they have chatted about new development team members that they're bringing in over the next couple months to bring in greater capacity to deliver on content and make the mobile client a reality. And they say these changes will bring a consistently good flow of content, and we're going to be showing you our new team structure and progress on the updates and news posts, live streams, and videos in the coming weeks. More on that just a little bit later. Now on to the part that everyone was waiting for in this. I found it a little bit odd that so far we're roughly two-thirds the way through the post and we just have a couple paragraphs here on monetization and microtransactions, which I think is what most people were waiting for with this, right? So,
yes. Well, yeah, the that vocal minority were.
Yeah, definitely. We're getting very close there. I can feel the anticipation rising regarding this. So, they say, we let the balance tip too far and promotion seem to dominate the game, especially when coupled with the underwhelming content updates. The prize pool promotion design was misjudged and it crossed the line. While microtransactions in RuneScape is essential to maintaining our development teams and the content they produce, we believe it can be refined and the harsher edges smoothed out without significant dents to income. Rest assured, we certainly won't be pushing it any harder. The prize pool promo won't ever be seen again, and we don't intend to revisit similar mechanics anytime soon. Over the next few months, we're going to be experimenting with promotion configuration, such as duration, start days, marketing levels, to see if there are better trade-offs between visibility and revenue. For one of the first experiments, we will not be running Second Chance Tuesday for the rest of the year.
That's the only one I actually like.
I agree.
I save my dailies to all do on a Tuesday so I can get the second chance.
Oh, that's great. I enjoy that one too. We commit to keeping a detailed eye on the game economy and progression rates to ensure promotions aren't going to cause a major impact. And to help in the longer term, we're starting a rework of Treasure Hunter, which will have greater emphasis on cosmetics and conveniences. It is important that we don't overpromise. To be clear, this doesn't mean the end of Treasure Hunter promotions. What we are committing to is better managing their impact, duration, and regularity, making some immediate changes in the short term while looking to move to a more balanced approach in the mid to long term. All right, folks, so what we're seeing here right here is the classic example of leadership. What Jagex is doing is basically doing something that is incredibly noticeable in the here and now, and that is, of course, putting out this post, committing to not running Second Chance Tuesday, and not amping up the promotion rate going forward. But at the same time, they are going to be keeping the door open in the mid to long term to make more gradual changes as they go. So basically, what we got here is what I see as some really good leadership on this in terms of statement being made. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I totally agree. And this is what I say about the perpetually outraged. They want to get upset about everything, you know, all these microtransactions, we hate them, we're this. So that, I mean, if you are truly against Treasure Hunter, prove it to me by not using your free keys. If you really think it is the devil incarnate,
You shouldn't
be using your free keys. That's hypocritical to bag Jagex for having these microtransactions,
absolutely,
but then using your free keys anyway. That's to me, you're a hypocrite.
And if the XP was a major issue for people, the XP-related promotions, as it so seems, was going on with this, people would quit.
Exactly. Now, I mean, you know, Jagex is a company. They're there to make money for their investors. And I mean, there was some comments, and again, yeah, it really, really irks me. Your Chinese overlords and things like that. God. That type of comment really, really annoys me, because the previous owners were the ones who actually began all this. They did it to build up the company to sell. Now, the Chinese company that has bought it, I can't remember their name at the moment, but they have bought it to develop the company and keep it there long term. They're not looking at just making a quick buck, you know, dragging all the money out they can and then dumping the company.
And there's no reason to do that right now.
Exactly. But that's it. But microtransactions are a necessary part of the game. They bring in a lot of revenue, and we're going to move into a piece shortly that Shane wrote, and I ask everyone to go and have a read of it, because it is one of the best
Fukong things. Fukong Interactive is the company.
That's
the
one. Company. Yeah. I mean, I work for a retail company, and one of the things, you know, we've just been bought out by another company who is a publicly owned company. we now have shareholders that we have to answer to. One of the big things we have to push is extended warranties. Now, you know,
there's a good reason for that.
That's where the money is.
Because exactly.
You sell a TV now, you make very little money because of all the online competition and such. Where the money is in those extended warranties, is in all the accessories, your cables and such like that. We wouldn't survive if we didn't do it. We're not a charity. We're not there just to, you know, buy a TV at $1,000 and sell it to you for $1,000. We've got to make money, and where that money is made. That's the same with Jagex. They're not a charitable company. They're there. There's 500 odd employees there that need to be paid. You know, yes, they love the game, but they need to, you know, they've got rent to pay, food to put on the tables. They need to have this income coming in to be viable, to A, keep the game there for us to enjoy, but they have overheads they've got to meet. And, you know, this is part of, you know, I call it a necessary evil, but I wouldn't even call it evil.
Yeah, it's just not evil.
It's a necessary of the game to keep a company viable and running.
Like, the way I see it is money is not evil unless you are, you know, taking advantage of the poor, starving children, for example, you know?
That's right. And that is not what this game does. And I don't buy Treasure Hunter keys. I have no issue with Treasure Hunter. I enjoy it. I use my free keys every day. I'm never, ever going to complain. Yes, that that one prize pool promo did go overboard. It was more like a slot machine, and I can sort of understand people getting upset about that, but to just start attacking everything, yeah, it did feel like gambling, that one. But overall, everything else is fine. One other thing is they've announced this, and then this week they bought out, they returned the Ghost Weave outfit, which is a purely cosmetic thing. Doesn't give you any bonus XP, doesn't give you anything like that. I mean, you can trade in at the end of the promo, you can trade in extra Ghost Weave for some a little bit of bonus XP, but that, I think that's going to be minimal. But again, as soon as I've done this, I was watching people complaining, oh, look, they said, you know, they're cutting back and look what they've done, this Ghost Weave, you can't even order it in-game. But they say, you can't even earn the Ghost Weave playing the game, you can only get it on Treasure Hunter, but it's a purely cosmetic. This is exactly what they're saying. This is exactly what you asked for.
Yep.
And now you're complaining when you get that.
Yeah.
And that's why I call these people the perpetually outraged, because no matter what you do, they always want to find something to be upset about.
Yeah. And that's why I think Jagex did a really good job with this posting. They have engaged in here something called pacing and leading. They are effectively leading here by promising the end of Second Chance Tuesday, promising the end of the of strong promotions like the gambling one, and also what they're doing with this. Oh, I just lost my train of thought there. I'm sorry. But pacing and leading, basically, we're not going to have any stronger promotions and we're not going to push Treasure Hunter any harder. That's what they're promising today. But in the future, they are opening themselves up to moving the needle on Treasure Hunter. And with further posts of this nature, they will bring the community along with them, at least the ones who read and use their brain.
But again, this is where I wish they would move away from Reddit and back to the official forums, where they can moderate it. It's done properly. And you're going to have a more sensible group of people reading that. Yes, you're still going to have, you know, you're still going to have your outraged group, but you're going to have more people, and without that downvote button, because as soon as someone makes a logical sense or says something that that vocal minority doesn't like, they get downvoted to hell and you can't see actual, true, good comments. Because if you don't agree with them, you're gone. And that's one thing I hate about that other forum, that, you know, that type of thing can happen. Jagex should move away from that, use their Twitter accounts to get the information out to us, and
link
to their own forums and put the information there. You have an official forum for a reason. Utilize it.
Yeah. One of the strongest things, sorry, Tycho, let me just say this. One of the strongest things people can do is you get, say, 4 to 5 JMods together and you all tweet about something related to on the same theme, but different tweets, same links and whatnot. You can effectively build a network on Twitter, a micro network on Twitter, and push that idea forward a lot easier than if it's just one person doing it. And that's something Jagex should be doing. with all their updates.
That's what their community helpers or their community team should be doing, your mod balances and mod shawnies and things like that, definitely.
Yeah. All right, Taiko, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was saying there's a lot of things that I don't agree with people. I have my own opinions, my own view of things, but they still have the right to tell me their opinions. I have the right to tell them about my opinions, and I'm going to respect them for it.
Right.
They have a reason to believe in what they, or what they think. They have the right to say it.
Yeah, and you know, with that, I don't think that this post was actually needed. I think it was a very small, it was a minority of the community that was demanding it. So, but anyways, this leads nicely into something else that happened. So last week we recorded the show on Thursday. That's when all this was happening and we heard there was going to be some kind of statement. So fast forward to Friday when I was editing the show, I was monitoring RuneScape Twitter accounts, and I started chatting with this fellow on Twitter named Zilesian, and he pointed me to Company's House. And Company's House is basically the place in the UK online where any corporation in the UK stores their legal documents and that they're required to file. And here, of course, you can find Jagex and their corporate records for the 2016 and 2015 fiscal years. So we did some digging here, and that led to a nice little Informer article called The Reality of Microtransactions. So that you can find this at informer.rsbnb.com. I'm not going to read out the whole thing to you guys here. I'll just pick a few key points. But in a nutshell, microtransactions can really be broken down to a simple 1 + 2 = 3. And the reason for that is because we know Jagex spent money. They spend money on, you know, new equipment. They spend money on wages. They spend money on office space and so on and so forth. So we know they spend money and they also earn money. So that's detailed in these reports. In 2016, Jagex made a grand total of 28,837,745 British pounds in profit. 2015 profits were 23,676,735 pounds of profit. And that is a swing of 5.2 million pounds over the span of one fiscal year. I want everyone to remember this 5.2 million pound number because it's very important. So what we also know from this report is that in 2016, subscription revenue was 46,879,490 Great British pounds. Advertising revenue was around 375,000, and other income, which includes merchandise and event ticket sales like RuneFest, was around 142,000. And finally, in 2016, microtransaction revenue, 27,025,917 British pounds. So, here's where the simple 1 + 2 = 3 comes into play. If you take your operating profit of 28 million pounds, give or take, and remove the 27 million pounds in change of microtransactions, that leads you with an operating profit in 2016, all things remaining equal, of 1,811,828 British pounds of profit.
Not enough
in 2016.
Not enough profit to run a company that size.
For a company that employs 323 people and in an industry that you're required to move quick, when you had a 5.2 million profit swing over 2015, having yourself be on such a small profit margin, it's not good enough. And you might say, well, the shareholders are still making profit at the end of the day. What's the big deal? Well, the thing is that in accounting and economics in general, stronger profits, stronger economic performance is tied to investment. And what that means is that if you have a higher profit margin, just like if you have lower taxes in your country, you are more likely to spur investment from within to try new and risky things, and you're also more likely to spur investment from the outside if you have a higher profit margin. So basically, with 1.8 million pounds in profit only, if they got rid of microtransactions, we wouldn't be seeing the expansion we're seeing into mobile and other areas Jagex is trying right now. So this is the very simple scenario here. 1 + 2 = 3, and without microtransactions, Jagex could have potentially swung into the negative over this past year.
Very easily.
So, yeah,
and that would be very bad consequences.
Exactly. And, you know, like you're saying, Pern, for a company that employs 323 people and for a company that large, 1.8 million is not enough.
But if you work for a company that was only making that sort of money, you would be very quickly looking for a new job because there's no viability there. You'd be on tenterhooks all the way through thinking, geez, you know, if one bad update that's going to cost us money, yeah, and they're going to sack a bunch of people.
Exactly.
The first ones I'd be sacking, obviously, is the OSRS team. Because we pick on the OSRS a lot, but I mean, the thing is, all they're bringing in is a membership that gives them both games, and I think you pointed out very, very well here. I mean, it's about time that that side of the company,
yeah, they need to
start paying for themselves.
They need to start paying their own share because it's listed as its own game on Jagex.com. It also at times has more active players than RS3. So as a result,
a lot of those are bots.
True.
I do go over there a lot, and there are a hell of a lot of bots over there.
So with all of that given, there's no reason why that can't be the case. And I've effectively outlined some points here as that would maybe be a way of increasing revenue, but they're all very rough ideas because I don't know what subscriber retention rates look like internally. So what I basically suggested is a premium RS membership priced at $14.99 a month, which would give you both RS3 and Old School. Premium membership gets you a premium high score table. There would be no microtransactions in game, plus the option to disable Solomon General Store overrides if you so desired, and a 50% discount on Rune Metrics. Individual membership for RuneScape 3 or Old School would be priced at $8.99 a month. Of course, since Old School is now listed as its separate entity. Slowly raise the price of grandfathered memberships accounts to $8.99 per month over the span of 3 years. And provide an outline to the players of how often and how many experience-based treasure hunter promotions are happening in RS3. And look at adding cosmetic sales through Solomon's General Store to Old School RuneScape. So that's what I suggested. And then I just provided some insight into other games, specifically World of Tanks, selling tanks anywhere from 40 euros to 100 euros, and Star Trek Online selling starships for $30, $50 for a bundle of 3, and $100 for a bundle of 9, which are comparatively more overpowered than the microtransactions we see in RS. So, in general,
and that's,
RuneScape microtransactions are pretty tame.
Yeah, and that's one thing. I mean, you know, people are complaining about the microtransactions we have here, but a lot of them are purely cosmetic or XP based. Could you imagine if suddenly your top tier weapons aren't dropped by bosses or made in game, but you have to pay $50 for, you know, the Super Seren God Sword?
Exactly.
And, you know, it's a level 95 weapon, but you've got to pay $100 for it.
Yep.
I mean, that's
very angry about
that. That is exactly a way Jagex could go. And that is microtransactions, and very egregious at that. And that is my point to everyone complaining about this, that our form of microtransactions that we have right now are really, really benign.
Yeah, exactly. And that's always been my point. You know, that's where you get a definite advantage in game, where you're suddenly your highest tier weapon and armors are purchased, not made or won in game. So
yeah,
you know, people just need to sit back and stop being sheep and following, you know, what a couple of loudmouth people on Reddit, Twitter, and YouTube say. Think for yourself, sit back and have a look at it. And I encourage everyone, go and read this from Shane on the RSBNB website, because it is a really good read and explains things succinctly and logically, so you can see exactly what this is all about.
It gave me a very good view, because if it's one thing I was lacking before this, it was a comparison. I've been a RuneScape player for quite some time, but I haven't really broadened my horizon and looked at the microtransaction as other game. So Chain bringing up a World of Tanks and Star Trek Online, it really makes me see that, oh, there are worse cases. And that's something I wasn't aware of. And now with the superpowered weapon, if that we would ever go that far, well, that would actually make me quite angry. At the moment, my biggest concern would be the XP lamps allowing players to skip content and getting maxed. But even that would be nothing if they decided to release new weapon, armor, things that directly affected combat through microtransactions.
Yeah, I really do. I agree the outright lamps XP drops, I'm not a big fan of. I much prefer bonus XP, where you can create yourself your own little double XP weekend. If you can get a lot of stars, and then you go out and actually train the skill and get the extra XP or the double XP that way, is a much better scenario.
Exactly. It supports the skill. It doesn't skip the content. For example, let's take to Slayer 120. It's a very long road, and bonus XP on that makes it half the pain for some, and or even double the fun. More XP, but they are still enjoying the content. They're still interacting with it. They're still getting Slayer tasks, and they are getting money that way from Slayer. So it's really makes people active having bonus XP, but getting direct XP, that's more like skipping. So that could be something they could look into, replacing lamps with stars, but I won't go that far today.
All right. So I took this piece. I waited until the day before we recorded this, and I posted it to the RuneScape subreddit.
Oh, you brave man.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like I'm standing up to some, you know, huge Goliath or something, right?
So you say.
But I posted this, and it made it all the way to number 3 after 9 hours on that page, with 174 comments and plus 71% upvoted. Now, I lost track of the comments after a while, and I was replying to some of them in there. You know, there were some good comments, and there were some really bad comments in there.
yes.
And
they couldn't fight your logic, so they were just dropping
that's
a lot
right.
of bombs.
That's right, and that's what happened. And I called one person out on that, and it just, you know, it totally it didn't go that way.
But
here's what I learned from this. There is a silent majority out there that we have tapped many times before on this podcast. And that silent majority is there, and they are watching, because I don't think you could get a post to number 3 if it was all about microtransactions. So the silent majority was hearing the argument. And that leads into my second point from this, is that most of the agitators that we saw regarding microtransactions appear to have been from old school RS. There were numerous cases in the comment thread where people said they came over from the old school RS community to see the quote shit show that was being put on. So they're the agitators and the downvoters and whatnot. I have a feeling a good portion of them were from old school.
And that's where a lot of the negative comments were coming from, where the where they were just dropping F-bombs and such with no logical arguments back at you were coming from. They were old school players, which they stated quite openly in their replies.
And one thing that I really was able to pick up from on this is that our sense of the silent majority is spot on. So you can expect to see more from that, from this podcast and Informer going forward in the months ahead. And I also just want to highlight that there was another really good idea. Add microtransactions to the construction skill through you know, treasure hunter, you can get some adornment for the construction skill once that gets reworked and have the ability to show off your treasure hunter stuff in your house. That was another idea that people really liked for microtransactions. And once all the hype and the negativity died down from this, we actually got some positive ideas out of this thread for microtransactions. Believe it or not.
That sounds really interesting, because if it's something that I think is a good point with microtransactions, is that it makes RuneScape more personal.
Exactly.
How, you may ask, is through customization. People pay to have things as they want to. There are a lot of costumes at Solomon's store that make every single character in RuneScape unique, that makes them walk a certain way, look a certain way, even have their eyes shining in a certain way. Everything to make it personal, bring them closer to the game. A construction rework with a house that looks as your personal house. I mean, it's Cloud player owned house. So having it exactly as you want it, not as the tables or anything that's decided by Jagex. Well, it is decided by Jagex, but bringing it closer to your imagination, closer to what you really expecting from somebody who's maxed or even completionist would have a house, then it really would make it personal. So that's something I think the microtransaction really has done to the game. It's making it more personal for players.
Indeed. All right. I don't have anything else left on microtransactions. I talked about the post, the article, and I think we have given the right amount of coverage to this issue.
I think that's enough. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked about the good points and the bad points. So I feel this is a good point to look at the work and just call it a good day's job.
So next up is the what have we been working on live stream. This happened earlier this week. And this is in line with what Jagex said, how they are showing more of what they're going to be working on and how the development is progressing. So this live stream was carried out this week, of course, Mod Osborne, Mod Shawnee, and lots of demos here relating to upcoming content.
Probably one of the best videos I've done this year.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's showing the content off and it's showing that it is actually in development. Now, it started off with talking about their team revamp, which is basically means they're going to be focusing on their individual teams and individual pieces of content, and the teams will have the ability to show off what they're working on. So the first one we saw was the new Pieces of Hate quest. And, that's weird. That disappeared from the notes. I didn't mean for that to disappear from the notes. But anyways, Pieces of Hate is the pirate quest finale. We got a bit of a preview of how some of the puzzles were going to work in there. And we also learned that Jagex wants us to submit reward designs for the final rewards for this quest. I know, Parnassius, you don't really feel up for that, but I think, Tycho, you submitted some rewards.
Oh, yes, I submitted 9 reward suggestions. Now, the thing they are telling us is try not to get it into details. Try not to give it a 50% boost or,
right.
Or try not to once a day.
Let them
try
handle
to make
the balancing.
Yeah, exactly. Let Jagex handle the balancing. What they are interested in is inspiration and ideas. Things that we want that they don't think about. And that's quite logical. Thinking about that, we are playing the game and Jagex is doing programming. They are not playing RuneScape to the same
so
extent
what did you,
as we are doing.
What did you submit for your ideas?
So I was submitting the secret to smith cannonballs faster.
Ooh.
Because it was Mod Raven who started the thread and he was interested in the pirate theme, the quest rewards. So I gave it a thinking and came up with the night. So the first one was cannonballs. And it's something that people have been doing. It's a money-making method. I don't know how many do it nowadays, but you can gain smithing XP from it. And it makes sense of being a pirate and smithing cannonballs faster, at least in my world. The other one is to add the lockpick to your tool belt.
Oh, that's a simple one and could be useful for thieving as well.
Exactly. Such things as pyramid plunder, that you open doors more easily with a lockpick. But, oh, I forgot my lockpick once again. And so it could easily be done.
All right.
Another more advanced one is hooking up dead man's chest from the sea. And I let this one be a bit open. It can either be that all the caskets you get from fishing are improved, or it can be that when you're always fishing, you have a chance of getting a casket.
Interesting.
Then we have something that maybe people will give me a strange look. Having the cross-dressed zombie head from a Clockwork Syringe quest in your personal owned house wall.
That one I like.
Yeah, that would be quite funny because during the quest, I dressed up the zombie head like a twin-tailed schoolgirl. Having that one as on my wall instead of the King Black Dragon. That's actually something that I would switch out the King Black Dragon's head for. And I can't even imagine the dialogue. I would just read the short text I made for it. A pirate's life is tough, and retirement is often out of the question. Forgiving the act of trying to murder you in a Clockwork Syringe quest, you have given this shark bait the exclusive opportunity to weigh anchor permanently at your POH wall. At least he won't have to walk the plank.
Nice.
That'd be a nice upgrade in the aquarium, I think.
Definitely.
So that's one quest reward. Then we
How many more do you have?
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll just go through them quicker.
Yeah, okay. just read the names off.
Yeah. Improved chance of major ale. A clue scroll treasure spade that can shatter a log once a day. An improved treasure chest from Carnelian Rising, so you can create your own real clue scroll for other players.
Oh, that might be fun.
Yeah. Receiving port loot once a day from the Pirates of Moss Homeless, and then
yes.
talk like a pirate book of piracy. And I will explain this shortly. If you have this book equipped, it will swap out words you're saying. Like, you're saying hello to another player, but the book will instead swap it out with R. or you say enemy, and it will tell your friend shark bait. It will make you talk like a pirate, but by having it equipped. So those are my quest rewards.
Very nice. And there was also a preview of the quest, some of the quest mechanics in the video here and that they were showing off here. So that would be something that you might check out if you're at all interested in this.
A very interesting reference to Xaltak.
Yeah, that's going to be good from a lore perspective. I can't wait to hear more about that.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So. They also talked about the Halloween event. It's going to be an old-style mini-quest, not grindy. You're going to be lore and puzzle-themed, half-written by J-Mods and half-written by players, and they're going to pull about making it permanent content.
I love this, yeah. I'm a quest person, so I like the mini-quest events.
Yes, me too. I honestly just feel like some of the past events have really been a chore, so it's going to be good to get back to this. Very pleased.
Hopefully it'll be as good as the Slisky Easter event. Love that one. That was one of the best sort of event quests that I've seen in a long time.
And the bobbleheads were singing. It's such a shame they didn't put a recorder somewhere where it could play over and over again.
Shane would love that one.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it was something about that copyright issue, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That song was really annoying, by the way.
Well, no, you can't say that.
It was.
I loved it.
All right.
But as you said, they're making a poll about making this permanent content, and this result will be used to determine the guidelines for what future content should be permanent or temporary.
See, again, this is what I'd like to see is each year we get a new event, but once you've played that event, the portal at Priftinus, or you can have one maybe in the new GE, that once you've played the new one, you can actually go back and select one of the old ones to play.
Ooh, that would be good.
You won't get the rewards, but you'll be able to just play through it. And I could go back and play that Slisky one again if I wanted to at Easter time, and just each season,
I would love that for Christmas.
Every one of them? Yeah. You don't have to do every one. Just each year, pick two or three that you can sort of go back and replay and just have
them like what they
on
did,
a rotating basis.
What they did
for the 15 year.
With the last Christmas one. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah,
and that way you're not, you're spending all this time developing something you put in the game for 2 weeks and then is never seen again. And I just think that's such a shame. If you have that opportunity to go back and replay it, as I said, you don't need to have the rewards. Just the fun of replaying it for those of us who want to do that, I really think that would be something they should look at.
Yeah, I'm a person who loves story and lore, so I would love that. The only problem I would have with that is people who doesn't explore. How would they know it? There is a couple of persons in Clan Quest that actually doesn't never visit the RuneScape homepage. And I'm asking them, how in the world are you able to keep up with the updates or know what's going on?
Listen to RSBNB update.
And, yep.
Yeah, but they don't even do that.
Well, make them do that. You're co-host this month.
I'm trying, Jane. I'm working on it. So,
or Carter.
So that would be how do you get them to discover it? One way would be through the achievement system, but if it was under the Master Quest cape, then there would be a lot of people not discovering it. So I'm thinking more towards a seasonal event. That would actually be fun, that you could replay old content that happened. Imagine if we are getting towards Easter and they are opening a portal where you can play previous content, but only for 2 weeks. That, in my opinion, would be give a stronger reaction than having all the previous Easter events available all year long.
Yeah, that makes sense, and that would be good. So. All right, anything else on that one? Halloween?
No, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah,
same. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Okay. What Raven's idea. Oh, yes.
Next up is the Clue Scroll rework, a bit of progress on how that's shaping up. There's going to be a Clue Scroll hub by the Grand Exchange, Master Clue Scrolls, a settings pane for toggling if you receive certain levels of Clue Scroll, a clue log showing what items you get, and lots of quality of life fixes. And you'll be able to have up to 5 clues of the same tier stored, but only 1 active at a time.
Yeah, this was good. I mean, I'm not sure about just only having 5. I would have preferred more like 10. But anyway, that's it here. One thing I did love is, even though you can only have 5 clues saved, you can actually have an infinite number of the treasure chests. So you can do your 5, bank your 5 chests, and do that and save up. And then you can sort of, just open all 50 chests at once if you want to.
Exactly, yeah. And you can borrow a Lock of the Dwarf's Ring for just that one occasion.
Ooh, there's a good idea.
Have it equipped, open 100 chests, and then give it back.
Mm-hmm. You might be able to purchase your own Lock of the Dwarves after that.
That's it.
Ooh, yeah. A couple of dice and we will be set.
The toggling of the certain clues. So if you don't want to get easy and medium clues, you can just switch those off. I thought that was an interesting idea as well.
I like it, but at the same time, I know what Shane is going to say, and that is Togglescape.
Yeah, that's why I said that was an interesting idea.
Yeah. It's okay to have that as an option. I see why they're putting it inside the game interface, but at some point, we're going to need to have a revamp of that interface because there's just becoming way too many of them.
I mean, they're putting in toggles. Let me toggle those bloody spirit gems.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. Because if you have 99 summoning, you don't really need that.
No.
So, or just give them another use past that. So.
And the loot beam they give off.
I know, that annoys me.
Oh, yeah, just like Curadel's rings with loot beam. All right. Next up was the mining and smithing rework. Progress is being made. They got around to implementing one of their early prototypes right now.
Very early.
I think this was Mod Dag and Mod...
Tim?
No, not Tim. I forget the other guy's name. I'm sorry. But definitely Mod Dag. So mining has been made kind of AFK-able, just kind of like Seren Stones, except you take a break now when mining occasionally, and this is to lower XP rates for AFK mining. The mining level affects how often you rest, while strength and agility affect how fast you mine.
Yeah. I love the fact that they're tying agility to this now. It's giving an actual use to agility, and I want to see them sort of tie more of these type of skills in with agility where, you know, you're going to do it faster, et cetera, with your agility, the higher your agility level.
I don't know how I feel about the...
tying it to thieving, that if you have a high thieving and agility level, you can pickpocket multiple times in one pickpocketing, if that makes sense. And now they are doing the same for mining. They could do the same for Hunter. I think there's already...
They've done the same for Hunter with the Crystal Chinchompers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's something that really makes agility a support skill. The higher... agility is, the easier you will can interact with the other skills.
One thing I'm not so certain about is having strength affect it, because obviously mining is a skilling skill, and you know there are skill peers out there who aren't going to want to level strength to have the best mining experience. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, I would have preferred just to leave the agility and mining levels, not to have the skill one personally.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I'm going to actually make a note to send this feedback off to the appropriate people regarding this section. Yeah. Of the
Although when you're making it, yeah, the game isn't designed to do as a pure. You do. It's like a hardcore Ironman. You're limiting yourself by doing that type of thing anyway. Yeah,
and it would be nice to have some numbers on how much how much it's actually going to affect it, these skills. So,
but it's very early, and it's going to change multiple times before it's released.
And speaking of very early, they're also working with stackable ores and bars in an experimental phase right now.
Yes. They said it was the easiest to implement and the easiest to see how
I like it. I like it, but I'm not sure on it.
Same.
If that makes sense.
And
actually,
I mean,
same.
I'm willing to let Jagex do all the analysis on this to see how it comes out, but I share your guys' concerns.
What I would love more is, with something like this, yes, we have it stackable, but when we go to the furnaces, we've got to load it into like a hopper, and then as you're making it, you're actually digging it out. So you're digging out the coal, digging out the ore. So it does take a little bit longer to make, but it balances it more for that time, you know, that we spend in the old way running backwards and forwards between a bank. So over an hour, you're sort of making the same amount, but you've got more actions there where you'll deposit your coal and such into that hopper, dig it out, load it into the furnace, and then your bars come out that way.
Yeah.
Yes, because at the moment smithing is AFKable, and they said they will look into it if they can make smithing more interactable. In my opinion, I think smithing would be okay to be AFK, considering it's a productive, and if they are looking for it to increase the crafting time of one item. Let's say you are going to make 20 rune swords. That would be, and let's say it takes 1 minute for one rune sword. That's 20 minutes. In that case, I would actually let it be AFK rather than interactive.
All right.
Yeah, it's got to be time balanced.
Yeah. And as I said, very early on, and all this could, you know, get thrown out the window at some point. So
yeah, exactly. It can be thrown out the window. They can decide that, you know, stackable wasn't that good, so we are taking it back to one inventory space per ore and ball.
They also did add, you know, exploding rocks, or I guess pulsating rocks here to make mining less AFK so you get more XP from it. And they were looking at doing something similar with the AFK smithing too. So once again, all very early on.
I'm actually not that happy about it, about an XP boost. However, if it the rock would give a higher mining rate, or rather higher chance to find a gem, then I can understand it, but it didn't feel right, like click and receive XP.
And also with this, rune ore has been compressed to level 50, and there will be four new tiers of ore right above that.
Yeah, of course. That's what everybody was spamming at the Twitch.
Well, also with this, and speaking of panic cell, all ore drops from PVM will be removed. Yes.
Now, was that all, or was that only the new four tiers?
They said all ore.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
So, yes. I'm very happy with that.
Yep.
So now it's the question, panic sell or panic buy?
Oh, it's going to be a long time. I don't think we're going to be seeing any panic today. Also with this, finished products can be handed in for XP, and you can further refine them using mining and smithing resources, so reinforced weapons and whatnot. You can turn those in for more XP.
I love that idea, because that's going to take out Elkscape, and you know, you're going to see less of these items sort of just being used to high elk for GP, because people are going to want that XP.
What they've effectively done is they've created a confined ecosystem for the mining and smithing skill with that.
Yep.
Which is excellent. Let's see. Of course, Jagex stresses it very early, and there will be lots of changes going forward. They have 90 pages of notes of things that need to be considered with the
90 pages, and they showed it on screen, a couple of them. 90 pages of notes, and written on both sides. Actually, I don't know if they said 90 pages, or it was 45 pages written on both sides, but
well, it's just assumed 90 pages then, so...
Yeah.
Massive project, but we got the first early prototype implemented in game just as a few days ago before the stream here. So good to see progress is being made. And I think this is what we need to see for this. So well done.
Next, this is much better. Yeah, this is much better than just writing me a little dev diary and talking about it. This is actually seeing actual content and seeing how to interact with it and such. I really love this stream.
Yeah,
exactly. It shows that something is happening, and that makes me patient. If I see something is happening, if I see something is under development, not only by them saying it, but showing what they are working on, that makes me patient, and that makes me build trust in them.
Absolutely. Next up was deep sea fishing, which of course was shown at RuneFest. It's the interactive fishing event. It's going to be better XP than the Prif waterfall, because it's going to be a lean forward fishing experience where you need to interact with it. So,
and the best news?
Waterfall fishing is getting XP nerfed.
Yes!
They said it will be slightly nerfed to calm all the skillers. So we
take
shouldn't
that 10%.
Expect... Well, we'll let them balance that. But as said, Shane, this will be interactive fishing.
Yeah, and of course, waterfall fishing is going to be your relaxation, Netflix and skill fishing.
Yeah.
So, let's see. There's going to be also social fishing spots near it that'll have their items, or their fish rather, decided based on the bait that you're using. So you're going to have the ability to fish with people who are not only level 99, but mid-level as well, which is a really good thing for increasing social skilling, which is something I think the game sorely lacks at this point.
Yeah. And what I also liked was where they were talking about some of these spots. there's a chance, even though you're not level sort of 85 to be able to fish shark, you're a lower level, you do have that very rare chance of occasionally catching a shark or a higher level fish.
Yeah. And in some ways, I see this as a major rework to the fishing skill, because it's new mechanically and it's something we haven't seen in a long, long time. So
part of our skilling reworks.
Yep.
I'm wondering, isn't there a risk that deep sea fishing becomes the only place you go to for fishing?
No, because you're still going to need to fish rocktail for, you know, if you're wanting large fish or you want to sell them or if you want to use them in combat, you're still going to do rocktail. If you're AFKing, if you're just wanting to, you know, relax a bit and maybe level some rods up, you're going to go to the waterfall. It's still going to be good XP. It's not going to be nearly as good as
it is. And remember, they are talking level 60 plus for this too.
Right. So
yeah, at the fishing guild,
and that's also another thing.
That's the question I have when they. Yeah, that's the thing I was thinking about when they showed off the bait system, that you could throw a bait into the water and you got rocktail spots. So you got sea turtles that only can be caught during a fishing traveler at the moment. That really feels like it brings all the people to one spot. It makes me a little bit worried.
I don't think they mentioned rocktail, though, did they? They said the manta rays and the sea turtles.
Yeah, maybe
and
it's
the
only
great
a
sharks.
Certain,
yeah.
certain level of things. I will wait and see. I shouldn't be concerned about it too early.
Yeah, and also they're going to be introducing improved fish that heals people more. So that'll be an interesting mechanic.
Yes, everybody was saying panic sale rocktail soup.
Nah, because, I don't think so.
Who knows? Because if they bring improved rocktails to the deep sea fishing, the PVMers are going to leave the god sword at home and take out the fishing rod.
I don't know. Anyways, also on the stream, we had the Evil Dave quest preview of that. This is a Mod Timbo project focusing in on his free time. The player will be Evil Dave, which is, quote, an adult with the mind of a child.
So basically, they're basing it on the Reddit community.
Oh, boy.
Sorry. You bring me in for the controversy.
Yeah, the player will be Evil Dave, and there's going to be lots of RuneScape and movie references. So
yeah, that they showed off a small bit where Dave was going to smuggle a hell rat through the Shanty Pass, and let's just say it was quite funny. That short bit of humor right there.
Wow. All right. And perhaps one of the largest things shown here on the stream is a new polling system. For three independent polls at once, with each poll having multiple questions and allowing players to skip questions. The results will not be shown until after voting to avoid it affecting decision making, and there will be no change of options and alternatives after submitting. It'll be primarily used first by the Ninja team to prioritize game results, but overall, all Jagex teams will be encouraged to use this system, and this is coming on Monday, the 30th, with the Halloween update.
Yeah, in 2 days.
So, you know, I have to say that definitely the part about not showing the results, that is good, because we don't need to be impacting the other results if the community senses a panic.
Yeah, I'm interested in what other people think about things, and through that, through my curiosity, I have actually checked for the results before I vote. I don't know if that have changed my opinion in voting. But it could have done that. Thus, this is very good that they are putting this out. You can't change your mind when you're submitting. You have submitted.
I agree, definitely. All right. Well, that's pretty much it for the content Q&A stream that happened this week.
I can just mention, short mentioning, it. That they also showed off their combat pets for attack, strength, defense, range, magic, constitution, prayer, and summoning, and a new title, Master of All, for the one who acquires them. So that's interesting if people have their luck and skill to get all the pets.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens for me on that, because I have some good luck with pets going forward.
Yeah, then we have Solak, the Lost Grove boss, and the one who's running this project is Mod Ramen, creator of Nex, the Angel of Death. So Mod Ramen showed off a very early prototype of Solak and his mechanics, and the interesting part here is it won't be as reliable on PVM skill as the other bosses that have come out, but more about role and timing.
Yeah, we heard that at RuneFest as well, so it doesn't sound like much has changed on that. Before we go on, though, I'll just say that the Pieces of Hate reward design forum thread is linked in the show notes at update.rsbb.com. So we're just going to talk quickly about some drop rates before we move on to the questions for the week. But we got drop rates from Raids, the Kalphite Queen, and God Wars Dungeon 1, and the Chaos Elemental. The Raids have a very, very complex drop rate mechanic. They explain the reward and structure of the drop table, and then there's also impact based on when you kill the two bosses. The game decides which piece of acto you're attempting to receive based on two factors, based on the combat style you use to inflict the most damage, and which boss you'd killed. So each boss and equipment slot has a priority. Durzag is priority 1, Yakamaru is priority 2. The boots, gloves, helmet, legs, and chest are prioritized 1 through 5, as listed in that order. And then the game determines the priority of the item based on what boss you were fighting, and then it'll determine based on equipment after that. So, as you can see here, Raids has a very complex drop mechanic, and the generous and harsh chances for each boss are effectively this. Beastmaster Durzag, 1 in 35, and the harsh chance is 1 in 55. Meanwhile, for Yakamaru, it's 1 in 30, and then 1 in 50 for harsh chance. So that's your chance of receiving a Raids item, which doesn't seem too bad, does it?
No, it's not that bad. They are tough bosses that isn't really repeatable, and considering that you only can receive loot every second day or once every 48 hours, it seems quite balanced.
Yeah, and also if you own an inferior version of the exact piece of armor you're rolling for, you'll have half the chance to get that item. So if you already have it, it's going to lower your chances of getting it, which I think is really interesting.
Yes.
For the first God Wars dungeon, they're somewhat more simple. 2 out of 128 chance to obtain a unique item. 1 out of 128, then a 1 in 4 chance to obtain a Godsword hilt. If you fail the 1 in 4 chance, you'll receive 19,501 to 21,000 GP coins instead. And then a 1 out of 128, then a 1/2 chance to obtain a Godsword shard. See, I didn't think that the shards and the hilt were on the same rate, because the shards always seemed more common.
Well, I get a hell of a lot more money than 1 in 4 on the Godsword hilt and shards.
This is interesting. This is will.
Yeah, and you need to hit the 1 out of 128 to get that first.
Yeah.
So, 1 out of 128 for the bodyguard unique table. Each god then has a different chance to obtain a unique item from their bodyguards. So 1 out of 320 to obtain specific uniques from Ceridoan bodyguards. 1 out of 384 on the Bandos and Armadale bodyguards, and 1 out of 512 on the Zamorak bodyguards. Wonder why those are all different.
I mean, I can't understand between the Ceradomin and Bandos Armadale in terms of how strong they are, but Zamorak is way out.
Yeah, we're talking 1 out of 512 for that.
Makes me wonder if is it because Zamorak at the Krill only attacks one player? Because if there's one tank that can deal with Krill, then all other players who are with him or her can basically go through the whole kill unscathed. Unlike Ceradomin, Bandos, and Armadale, where everybody are in the danger zone at all times. So I wonder if it's because of that.
I don't know. You then have an X of Y chance at uniques. X is the number of unique items that can drop, and Y is the bodyguard drop table chance. So if you don't get a unique drop, then you'll get between 1,000 and 1,500 GP instead. There's no difference in drop tables between normal mode and hard mode in God Wars Dungeon 1. The only difference is soul stones, which obtain from a hard mode boss at 1 out of 25 chance.
Now that is surprising, because hard mode is known to be more of a challenge with more rewards.
Yeah. And, you know, it just feels as though that these numbers make it seem as though the God Sword hilts and whatnot are more common than they actually are from God Wars Dungeon 1. At least that's what I remember from fighting. What do you guys think?
You first.
Yeah, I mean, one in 128 and then a 1 in 4 chance. I think that's rare enough. Still seems fairly rare to me.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it is. Even though you can easily identify the bad RNG drops, as we now know the amount of coins that drops when you fail the roll.
Yeah.
it seems quite rare enough, considering Hilt and then 3 God Sword shots.
All right. You guys ready for the Kalphite Queen now?
You sound so proud, Shane.
Well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not.
Be honest, Shane, be honest.
So back in the day, 2005, Mike and I, who, for those of you guys who don't know Mike, he is the co-owner of RSB&B, we went to the Kalphite Queen almost every day. We bought 14,000 shark worth, and at best did between 1 and 2 kills, because this was back in the day when tier 75 armor was the top of the tier. So at the Kalphite Queen, we ended up going for dragon chain bodies. We did 437 kills, and we got 2 dragon chains. Here today, we see that the drop chance for a dragon chain body is 1 out of 128. Then, for the Dragon Two-Handed Sword, it's 1 out of 128, then a 1 out of 2 chance. So it's even rarer than the chain body. And finally, 1 out of 128 for the Kalphite Queen head. So we were pretty much on par. We were a little bit under from where we should have been, because we did over 400 kills and we only got 2 chains, when in reality we should have probably got closer to 3 or 4 during that time. And this was the time when Dragon Chain Bodies still sold for around 45 million GP. So it's nice knowing all these years.
And when 45 later, million was worth about 500 million now.
Right. So it's nice knowing all these years later that our attempts were not futile. So, but hey, I mean, one of us also got the Kalphite Queen head for our POH as well. So I think that was me. But so I guess three chains and a head, that's not too bad. We also got the Chaos Elemental, 1 out of 128 for a Dragon Two-Handed Sword, 1 out of 128 for the Ancient Warriors drop table. which rolling to access the Ancient Warriors drop table will open up a new table where you can obtain unique equipment, which gives you a 1 out of 224 chance to obtain a unique drop, and 44 out of 224 to obtain any Ancient Warriors equipment, 100 out of 224 at 3 random herbs, 10 out of 224 at a weapon poison, and 70 out of 224 for 4-dose anti-poison potions. Interesting Chaos Elemental drops, I say.
Yes, very interesting. This explains a lot to me why weapons and Ancient Warriors equipment are so sought after, and yet they are so rare. I mean, not only that the Chaos Elemental is in Wildy where you can get PK'd, but it really explains here the rarity of it. And the one thing that higher level PVMers really want, the Stasis Warhammer, the thing that costs 70k per hit. Like, yeah. That's the big money pouch you're swinging. 70k per hit, now wow. You're wasting money. And it degrades to dust when it's finished.
Oh boy.
So, wow, now I understand how it's called a 30k coin bag.
All right, we also got the Magister drop rates, which we'll talk about because those actually just came out before recording today. The Barrows Brothers, the Queen Black Dragon, and the Dagonoth Kings. The Magister has a relatively simple drop table. 1 out of 18 chance to obtain the Phylactery, and 1 out of 17 chance with Luck of the Dwarves equipped. 1 out of 128 for a key to the crossing. 2 out of 128 for 10 vital sparks and 20 vital sparks. 1 out of 2,000 chance for the Gloves of Passage. 1 out of 2,000.
Yeah, but still, the Magister is like Queen Black Dragon, DPS boss.
Yeah.
So as long as you have the key to the crossing, that at the moment I think costs 450k each, then the previous one, it seems logical, but at the same time, if it's a matter of cost, if money doesn't bother you, then 1 and 2k seems fair. But if you're the middle person in the society, this would be very costly if you're going for the Gloves of Passage.
Yeah,
it seems a little too rare to me, that one.
Yeah, I agree. When it comes to opening the Phylactery, there's a 40 out of 100 chance, so basically 40% for 5 scripts of scraps of scripture, 30 out of 100 for 10 scraps, 25 out of 100 for 15, and 5 out of 100 for 25 scraps of scripture.
I'm glad they fixed that up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to explain what scraps of scripture does?
Aren't those the things that are used to create the new tier 92 scimitars?
Yeah, you need 300 of them to make the blessings, and you need all 3 blessings.
Yeah, that's the number. So you basically
need
9.
You need basically 900 of them. But they used to be anywhere from 3 to 25. Now they've sort of narrowed it down to 5, 10, 15, and 25, which is much better.
Yeah, nice even numbers too.
Yeah, and I'm glad I see Luck of the Dwarves having a huge impact here. I mean, it's only 1 in 18 and 1 in 17 with the ring, but considering it's a DPS boss that you do over and over again, I think it's quite a huge impact, especially if going for 2k kills for the Gloves of Passage.
All right, so when it comes to the Barrows Brothers, they hint that it's a very complicated drop rate here as well. The number of brothers you kill, including Akrise, but excluding Linza, has a large impact on various aspects of the drop table. First of all, how many brothers you kill determines how many rewards you get, and consequently how many chances of rare items you have. The number of pieces of loot is the number of brothers killed plus 1 up to a maximum of 7. Linza isn't part of that below. Instead, there's now a 1 out of 512 chance to roll onto Linza's unique table at the start of assigning a reward. If this is successful, then you obtain a random piece of Linza gear. All has an equal chance of dropping after that, and if it isn't, then it carries on with the table below. So the chance of getting a unique item at base is 450 minus the number of brothers killed times 58 to a minimum of 73. So, for example, killing all the brothers is a chance, gives you a chance of 1 out of 73. Or for killing 6, it is 1 out of 102. So if you forget to kill 1, you go up to 1 out of 102 from 1 out of 73. If you manage to get on the unique table, they then determine which brother's armor you're going to get. And they take how many brothers you've killed and then random it. Whatever this number corresponds to is what sort of equipment you'll get based on each of the numbers below. Each of the unique items on each of the brothers' table has the same drop chance as the other. So that's just for all the various brothers out there, starting with Akrise and going down to Aram. If this fails, we then see if you obtain some Rise of the Six entry tokens, which has a 1 out of 20 minus number of brothers' kills chance of dropping. Very complicated. And if this fails, we then see if the player is eligible for a defender drop. And if they are, you have a 50 times 7 minus number of brothers killed chance of obtaining a defender. So I'm guessing then basically
1 out of 50 then? 1 in a 50.
Yeah.
Yes, 1 in a 50.
Then if this fails, you go onto a regular drop table, which includes everything that we know, including mind runes, chaos runes, death runes, bolt racks, and the dragon medium helmet. So you know if you get runes, you have basically scraped the bottom of the barrel. If you have a ring of wealth active, you get an additional drop in addition to the ones listed above. And these can be potions or sharks or more runes or death runes. So, it certainly seems like if you are going for items and you want to get items to sell, barrows is probably not the best way to go, just because everything seems so rare. Would you guys agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, I actually did a series on getting every unique drop from the Barrows Brothers.
And How long did that take?
I think it was something like 1,600 kills.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was a long time.
Okie dokie then. Wow.
Very long time. How long is one kill?
I was doing between 8 and 10 kills an hour.
Okay, so just
and I was killing under, all 7, so yeah.
Just under 8 min, 9, yeah. 8 minutes then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
16,000.
And I was killing the 8 because they said the best way to get a roll was kill at least 8 minions in the tunnels below as well.
But evidently, we can see that has no role here. So.
Exactly. That's because I think that was said by a mod years ago.
Yeah,
that's
why I always
killed 8. Yeah, that's why I was always killing 8 of them before I go in.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Same here.
On to simpler matters now. The Queen Black Dragon, 1 out of 128 for the Dragon Kite, 2 out of 128 for the Dragon Bone upgrade, and each of the Royal Bolt pieces are at 5 out of 128 chance, and 1 out of 109 for a Draconic Visage. So
yeah, that seems simple enough. I mean, as easy as it can be.
Yeah. And following from this, Dagonoth Kings, 1 out of 128 for the Dragon Hatchet, 1 out of 128 for Mud Battlestaff, Seer Ring, Berserker Ring, Warrior Ring, Archer's Ring, or Seer Call. So everything is relatively flat at 1 out of 128 for the DKs. And the final ones in the series next week will be Virago, Corporeal Beast, Giant Mole, and the King Black Dragon.
Actually, that 1 in 128 chance of Dragon Hatchet is pretty good because I went down there with my Iron Man and when I first started that because I wanted the hatchet. And I think it was 102 kills I got to get my Dragon Hatchet. So
oh, wow, that's better than expected.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Mm.
Quite nice.
All right, so on to a couple questions right now. So first one is from Trekkie. He says, yo, here's a question. We finished the Elf Quest series, the Desert, and the Dwarves, not including the Dragon King quest line. What new quest series should be introduced to explore the lands of RuneScape? Maybe we can follow up on the Imp-Catching quest and figure out what the Wizard's Tower will do with the beads. Or maybe those beads are used to summon the Thingamawot.
Thingamawot.
Yeah. All right. Quest series for me, I would like to see a quest series extending on from the Enlightened Journey series.
Ooh, that would make sense.
Just because, you know, that's the Captain Picard quest.
Oh, of course, of course. How couldn't I get that reference? I would go with, I gotta say, we need a Making History quest. Making History and Meeting History, all this time travel is really interesting.
Yeah, I think Mon Raven said no more time travel.
Yeah, he said that, but I still have the dream of time traveling once again. I mean, big spoiler here, we use the Enchanted Key to go back to the Fifth Age. No, even before that, what age were we? Were we in the, was it the Second Age?
I think Second Age, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the Second Age where we met Gothics, and it was before the Edicts, and we asked about him, about Seren, and then we found one of her, found Seren was spying on him, and then the key disintegrated to dust, but eyes. One can dream, Shane. One can dream.
Yeah. All right.
I still think that.
How about you, Pern?
I would love to see a new Ark quest to make the Ark relevant again. Meet another adventurer down there who sends us on a quest to do some stuff, but then when we come back, he'll actually teach us or will sell us new scrimshaws that we can use and, yeah, have them obviously degrade to dust, scrimshaws or sigils, and just sort of develop that and
so
make a reason
make the arc
to go up. Back to the Ark. Exactly.
Maybe do that's something really with the berries too.
Exactly. Well, that's it. I think I've said once before, the berries and the driftwood and such should be used to create these new scrimshaws. And, you know, we buy an activation from this guy to, you know, with our chimes. So it makes a reason to keep going back to the Ark.
Yeah, I could totally see that, mate. Just take the current map from player-owned ports. You have the skulls, the Ark, the shield, and on the other areas, and make it into a boat journey, like, well, I'm not going to say Titanic, but something like an eventful journey going through past islands and other things, meeting new culture.
So a sailing quest.
Sailing quest.
Mine was more like Goshima, where we've got that citadel there, but at the gates are
locked. Ooh, you know, that's another
try and
good
get
one.
Into there. Yes, yeah, we have to get into there and do it all. That's sort of where I was going. So yeah,
that's very nice. I like that.
I hope the J mods are listening to this because this.
Well, they'll be getting a design document on me soon because it was funny that this question came up. It's something that I'm sort of in the process of writing at the moment.
Nice. Ooh. Make sure you share that with us when you're done.
Oh, definitely. No, it'll be posted on the RSBNB forums when I do get it to where I want it to be.
Okay.
All right. Our next one is from the RR Matt, who hosted the show in August. So he says, I'll be entering the Dimension of the Damned finals on the weekend, of course. Next weekend now. Lucky for me, the time zones line up okay, but I do have to get up at 6 a.m. on Sunday. My question is easy. What are some final tips for the finalists? Have you heard any new ones over the week, and what are some of the key ones that should be reiterated? Cheers, the RR Man.
If I can just give him the first quick tip, don't get up at 6 a.m., have a sleep in. This week,
right? Very good point. All right, Tycho, go. Give him some tips.
Do I really want that? I've been preparing myself a lot. Like, I've been shutting the curtains. I've been basically under my bed making secret plans all along for the exciting finals. Do I really want it? Okay, but I can give a couple of pointers. So, the very first... Just so I give a little background, I did a lot of experimentation during the mention of the damned. And this really ties well in with my character in being, I love exploring and exploring weaknesses, so to say, exploring what can be used, what can be done. So what I realized is that the zombies have zero defense. So even if you are wielding a bronze weapon with ranged armor, you're going to hit anyway. And the zombies hit with melee. So the best thing is to have melee armor at all times. And then you have the shield bow that can both be used as a shield for shield abilities that you can recover like 40% health with to rejuvenate, and at the same time bind zombies for 10 seconds so they can't reach you. And then a final thing is that hopefully will make people cooperate a little bit more. I realized that if you safe spot a zombie, you can voke them so they focus on you and not on the players that are closest to it. That way, you can always have a ranger that's attracting their attention, but that can't be reached, and everybody who's going melee, close and personal, can safely dispose of them without any danger.
Huh, that's very interesting. And yeah, you think that's okay? Because, I mean, if you're provoking something and they can't get to you and you're safe spotting, is that as designed?
I mean, it's, let's be honest, Shane, for how long haven't you been able to be behind a fence, like in Draenor jail, and just range the guards outside? I mean, it's an identity even for the game.
True. Champions Guild chickens.
Don't you want it to be killing those other players while you're safe spot, so you get the points and they're dying and you move
that's
up
the
ranks?
That's true in the finale.
Yeah, but at the same time, I still think it's a little bit too much one versus one. I mean, community.
But it'd be good if you could go in as a team of three.
Oh, that might be fun. But also, I mean, this is, you know, you're fighting for all the marbles, so shouldn't you want to try and force your teammates to die?
Okay, that's
the people
cool.
In the thousand?
That's evil.
That's what I'd do if I was there.
Me too. Oh, okay. I'd be throwing them to the wolves and saving myself. Much like I would if there was a real zombie apocalypse. All right, man, I'm throwing you to them. I'll just hamstring you so I can run faster.
I think I'm going to be a little bit nicer than that during the finale.
All right, well, you do that and let us know how far you get.
Yeah, we'll do. I'm aiming for the top 100 and having a good time.
All right, any other tips on Dimension of the Damned for the finale?
I haven't played it, so I'm not going to give any.
I'm not going to give any. They will be holding a stream, so maybe if I'm lucky, you will be seeing me on screen, and then the game will screaming, "What is this kind of other world tactic? What is he doing? I can't believe it, ladies and gentlemen." But who knows?
Alrighty then. If you guys want to submit questions for the podcast, you can email them to questions@rsbnb.com or update.rsbnb.com/ask. We also take voicemails at 571-57BNB, which is 572-2632. So on to tech news we go. So last year was Samsung, this year it's Google with modern smartphone issues. This time it's the Google Pixel 2 XL having screen issues and some audio updates. So Google has told Pixel owners that they will be shipping some fixes for the audio issues, and that they have said that there are issues with the LG OLED screen in the Pixel 2 XL, but interestingly enough, not the Pixel 2. There have been issues reported with the screen, including a grainy or dirty-looking display at low brightness. It experiences image burn-in after a couple weeks, so you start to see where your icons and search bar are. There's also a blue shift to the display when looked at an off angle, and the colors are dull, according to some people as well. So definitely some issues with the LG screen here. And people are attributing it to the fact that the LG screens are actually behind Samsung in terms of screen technology for smartphones. So it'll be interesting to see what Google's remedy is for this and if people are able to exchange it in for a Pixel 2 XL that has a better screen on it. And, you know, this is really unfortunate because this is one of Google's flagship devices, and it's supposed to show what Android can be in Google's own vision. So really too bad in this case, but at least they're not exploding like they were last year. So,
from Samsung. Oh, I remember that one.
Oh yeah, we had some.
I had a lot of good jokes with those ones.
Yeah. So
I upset one of my reps. He was in with his boss, and it was not long after the phones were catching on fire. And I'm driving along the freeway to work, and there was actually a car on the side of the road on fire. The engine had caught fire, and they're going. I get into work, and the Samsung rep's there, and I said, "Mate, I just saw the new Samsung car." He's "Hey, what?" I said, "Yeah, on fire on the side of the road," and his boss was there. He had a laugh, but his boss wasn't overly amused.
Oh gosh. Well, at least we're not that bad this year, but still, this is a major issue. It's 2017, and I think no LCD display or OLED display, rather, should be experiencing screen burn in 2017.
And it's funny because on their actual TV panels, the OLED is excellent. There's no problems at all with those. But on their phones, LG have always sort of lagged behind.
Could it be that it's harder to produce them at a smaller size?
Maybe it could be that, yeah.
So,
stick to Apple and you won't have an issue.
Yeah. I am very pleased with the screen on my 8 Plus, by the way. So, but hey,
how much did they pay you to say that?
Nothing. And there's nothing wrong with the Google Pixel 2. It's just the XL that's having problems. Mm. So, all right. So, next piece of tech news is relating to the Microsoft Kinect for Xbox One. Microsoft has killed off the Kinect, but the tech will live on in other devices. So, the Kinect initially came around for the Xbox 360 and basically allowed motion control of the console. It was later shipped as a feature of the Xbox One, as in every new Xbox One, standard Xbox One had the ability to have a Kinect. You had to outright choose to not get a Kinect with the Xbox One when you were purchasing. So it was really a shock for me to see this story because, you know, when the Kinect came out, you could, you know, not only control the Xbox with your voice, but you still can do that with the Kinect, but you also used to be able to do hand gestures and whatnot to control the Xbox, but that feature has since went away. So Microsoft is definitely moving away from this, is moving towards more of the traditional gaming console. But of course, you know, the Kinect basically gives voice control to your TV, which is something that Sony doesn't do, Apple doesn't do, because you can't control your cable box with it. So really, the Kinect with Xbox One was one of a kind. So
yeah,
I'm really shocked and disappointed with this.
I couldn't understand it better. One of a kind. It's one thing that's makes it basically an extension almost of yourself. I mean, I can't barely imagine myself changing channels with just a hand gesture.
But with your voice, it becomes really quick and efficient.
Yeah, exactly. It's just thinking about it makes it so sci-fi.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it. You know, obviously it's still going to continue to work with the Xbox. It's just really a shame that Microsoft has given up on it. But, you know, what's really weird when it comes to the motion tracking tech behind it is that the iPhone X utilizes motion tracking and 3D visualization as its main form of authentication. So perhaps this might be seen in a year or so as a premature move by Microsoft.
Mm.
So
I was actually shocked when you pulled this one up too.
Yeah.
Because I got the Xbox with the Kinect, and my son uses it all the time, obviously, not me. But yeah, I was just,
it's
yeah,
so great for
really
TV.
Surprising. Mm-hmm.
That's what I enjoy the most out of it. And I actually went to the extent of bringing in a second Kinect for my Xbox because the first one is being flaky and I don't want to be in a position where the Kinect is going to be discontinued. So I preemptively went around on that. So disappointing nonetheless.
Yes.
And our final piece of tech news relates to what we were talking about last week. Pre-orders for the iPhone X have sold out, and shipping estimates have slipped to between 5 to 6 weeks. So the initial order of iPhone X, due to launch on November 3rd, has been effectively sold out. And if you look at 5 to 6 weeks right now, that effectively puts you at the end of November, early December. So definitely seeing high demand with the iPhone X, combined with the limited supply constraints of the first batch. So we'll have to see what the actual numbers look like, but this is, you know, more typical of an iPhone release than what we saw with the iPhone 8. So this should be good for Apple if everything goes to plan with this. So
I mean, sold out, how can't it be good?
Exactly.
Especially if people are reading this and realizing, wow, this is something that kids really would want under their Christmas tree this year.
I don't know if they'll be getting that. It's a it's a $999 US phone. So
Beats underwear.
I was actually shocked that they did release the two, the 8 and the 10 at the same time. I mean, it seemed pretty obvious that most people would wait for the latest technology and get the iPhone 10. So, or as they call it here in Australia, the iPhone X.
You know,
I knew you'd love that one.
Yeah, you know, that pains me every time someone says
I know. I had to throw it in for all those Samsung lovers out there.
All right. All right. Well, moving on to other things this month, or this week, rather. No, this is not a monthly podcast. We got the October Skill of the Month, which, Parnassius, you're leading still in attack. And, oh, boy, this has been a real thriller, hasn't it?
Well, I think Jay Mandy might come up at the last week and take. I'm only doing it basically through my Slayer. So, as you see, that's why it's a very wonky sort of graph.
Right, 8.5 million XP gain so far. Yeah. Jam Andy in second with 6 million and Flash in third with 1 million. And for anyone who wants to sign up, November skill of the month is thieving. So that one should generate some more interest, I think, since it's an actual skill and can be,
yeah, so
can be rather
thieves, we want you out there with your hardcore Iron Man or your Iron Man account. Thieves, get out there and show us how it's done.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love
I'm throwing see. The challenge out.
But should we really encourage people to live a life in crime?
It's RuneScape. There's lots of crime in RuneScape. We just pointed out through microtransactions and whatnot, or the microtransaction crimes that people so feel.
Yeah, okay. You can kill gods in the city of Ordoin and nobody will care. So, okay.
All right. We got a relatively limited list of achievements this week, so I'll just run through them. Starting on the 26th of October, we have PTV Spooky with 99 Thieving and 99 Dungeoneering. Congratulations. We have Wolfotopia with 99 Fishing on the 25th. Continuing on the 25th, we have Grim Roper with 99 Smithing and 99 Defense. On the 23rd, we had a Spookfarer with 99 Strength. Kebab Thief with 99 Invention on the 21st, and Schnetz with 99 in Mining on the 19th, and Ms. Conan 10 with 99 Woodcutting on October 19th as well. Congratulations across the board to everyone.
And congratulations.
Yes, well done.
Always nice to see achievements. So, I'm going to go through our pick of the week this week, and it is a game, or perhaps puzzle, I guess you could call it. It's called One Line. It's available on the iOS App Store. And the idea behind this is that you draw your line in this game, and your goal is to connect all the dots without chasing over any existing lines that you have drawn. And if you draw over an existing line, you need to start the stage over. And the idea behind this is to plan out a logical thought in your brain about how can I get from point A to point B without lifting my finger. And, you know, it might look easy at first, but some of them are indeed pretty involved. This might not be the game for some people, but it is a nice little puzzle out there if you want to challenge your brain. And I occasionally do enjoy pieces of content like this. It's available on iOS. I don't know if there's an Android version, but definitely give it a try. It's called One Line, and it's just a nice little time waster on iOS if you have it. I don't know. I've always enjoyed little puzzle games like this. It feels like a good way to stretch the mind out a bit. So it's called One Line, and that's the pick
of
the week.
Love those type of games.
Yeah. I mean, it's not invasive. You can do it while you're standing in line. You can do it maybe a little bit before you go to bed if you want to exercise your brain like that. So not too much time investment. And, of course, I think one of the things that everyone's going to like is that it's free. So
they're always the best ones.
That's right.
Yeah.
One Line. So what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Tycho.
I have a very long story to say, so I would rather wait to last.
All right. You go right ahead, hey, then, yeah. Parnassius.
Basically, just doing a lot of Slayer. Hit 119 Slayer early in the week. I picked up my invention pet finally about a week ago.
Ooh, nice.
Well.
How much XP?
It was 28 mil over 200 mil. So ooh. It took me about 130 odd mil all up to get. So it was a very welcome one to pick up. And other than that, just been down filling my divine charges with my vacuum cleaner.
Your divine Hoover.
In my divine Hoover. and also finally started you. I won the spring cleaner when it was released years ago, and I've never ever used it. And people have been telling me about it. And since you can now make the springs on invention, I started using it. And I must say, it is a very, very good little tool. Don't know how useful it's going to be after the Mining and Smithing update comes out, because obviously the price of runes should drop heavily then. But, up until then, it'll be a very good little machine. So I advise anyone who does have that hidden in their bank, if you do Slayer and such, pull it out and use it.
All right. Sounds good. As for me this week, I took a trip to the Dark Beast, did some Slayer there, some Invention Slayer to train up the invention. But before that, just been doing arc fishing to level up my invention, going for the level 99 there and all of the good little tools along the way that come with that. So that's what I've been focusing in on now that I feel as though there's a way to focus in on my training with invention. But beyond that, not too much, just dailies and the like. So, all right, Tycho, what do you got for story time?
Okay, so let's start with the small stuff first. I have finally decided to go for 120 Slayer, and two reasons. First one, that they took the Master Quest cape for me again. They patched a bug where you could find all the Slayer murals at 90 souls instead of 110. And I thought, okay, well, I didn't get to the 110 they said they would, but I will accept anything that gives my Master Quest cape back. But now they patched it and took it away from me, so I'm getting those lost souls back. And along the way, I actually missing my comp cape just a little bit, so I want it back, so 120 Slayer. And along the way, I disassembled my Nox staff I made from scratch to
ooh.
Make biting. Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Okay, it hurts actually, because it's I'm tied with it in terms of memory. But
and that costs a lot.
Yeah, but it doesn't cost because I made it from scratch.
Okay.
So I have that mindset. It doesn't cost if you make it yourself, but but anyways, I disassembled it and I'm going to make Biting 3 for my PVM armor, and I'm going to see if I can make another staff from scratch. It's back to the spider again, I guess. And hit 100 million invention XP by accident.
By accident?
Yeah, okay, I did have to work those 99 million invention XP before I could hit 100 million, but accident in terms of I had completely no idea I would hit that milestone. So that was fun. Congratulations that everybody started spamming me. And here's the tale that I've been building up of. So this week, I've been preparing for the Dimension of the Damned finale.
Sure.
I shut my curtains. I put myself under the bed and covered the exit with my blanket. And I made plans in secret about everything that I was going to do the finale. I can even tell you that I went to the RuneScape, logged into RuneScape, took a look at the world map, screenshotted everything, all the areas we have access to in Dimension of the Damned, and remade it based from my memory from when I was exploring to all the differences, and then making notes about fallback positions, where you can get what resources, and everything in detail. And then they announced they moved the dates. But here's the funny part. So after that, I was like, okay, they moved the date, so what am I going to do now? So, and then one clan member told me that, Tycho, have you noticed that on the stream, the Jagex did on the release of the Dimension of the Damned, you are in it. And I'm like, what? So I went to the live stream, and there I see Mod Raven being beside me during the exact same moment, exact same tale I talked with you last week.
Defending Armadale Tower.
Exactly, defending Armadale Tower, and Mod Raven is beside me in an Aura's live stream. And this is a moment when you are shocked, when you are looking at it and you can't say anything. Like you're finding out that you've been working with your boss for 2 months and you had no idea who he was. And then remembering all the moments when you might have said something or done something stupid, like you're that quiet and mind blown. And I'm just watching myself. How in the world did I not notice I was defending Armadale Tower with Mod Raven? And I'm basically role playing also. And
well, I think one of the reasons you may not have noticed this is because he was actually being nice and he saved you. He's normally the type of guy who would throw you to the zombies.
but still, I should have seen him. I mean, how in the world? And this was the tale I just talked about with you, Shane, last week. And he was beside me. And even more, I took a screenshot of the occasion. And now that I look at the screenshot again, Mod Raven is still beside me. He was literally in front of me the whole time, and I never saw him.
So he photobombed you.
No, I photobombed him without knowing it.
Well, that's pretty great.
Yeah, but how in the world is that possible?
Well, I mean, you did meet him at RuneFest, so I guess anything is possible after that.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess, but it's shocking for me telling a tale about how you defended Armadale Tower, thinking it's great and anything, oh, a glorious memory, and then mind blown over the fact that Mods Raven did it with you at the Aura's live stream. I mean,
mind blown.
It's mind blown. It's like you're going for Dragon Slayer and then accidentally killing Vorago.
All right. Well, I that, think
that's my feeling.
I think that that sums up our SBNB update nicely. Anything else before we go, you guys?
No, just remember, players, go out there and enjoy it. Have fun. That's what the game is all about. And you know, don't stress on things.
I have
and
to completely
don't be sheep.
Yeah,
make up your own decisions on things.
Play the game how you want. Don't be sheep. Have fun with it. That is the core aspect of it. So
yeah, enjoy the exploration and enjoy the content throughout its journey. That's how I play it. And then another small thing, Shane. So this is supposed to be my last podcast.
We're actually going to hold you over one more week.
Oh, you're actually announcing it. Oh, and here I thought you were going to pull the rug.
No. We're going to hold you over one more week. Bit of a surprise to everyone, and Tycho included, but we talked about that. So
yeah, we did.
So with that being said, we'll see you guys all next week for the Halloween edition of RSBNB Update and RuneScape, and see what that brings us. If you want full show notes, you can find that at update.rsbnb.com. We're also in Friends Chat Bits Bytes if you want to chat with us while you're in-game. We would love that. And we're also on Twitter at RSBNB, where we post all our Informer articles and other RuneScape-related things where we defend the silent minority and point out the errors of the ways of the many sheep online. See you next week, everyone.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.